Moncrief on News Talk.
In Europe, most of the apps we use are American, Instagram and Amazon and the like, and there is an increasing sense that for various reasons we should be less dependent on them. But what are the alternatives? Brian Honan is Chief Executive of BH Consulting, which advises on cybersecurity. Brian, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Sean.
Right, so run us through the reasons why we should think about not being so dependent on American tech.
Well, I think it's not just American tech. It can also be tech that's outside Europe as well from other regions. But there are several reasons. First one would be reliance on platforms that, so if they go down or unavailable, will impact our daily lives. So, for example, last year, Amazon's web services went down for half a day. That impacted not just Amazon's services such as Alexa, etc., but also any third-party applications that were run on top of it. So streaming services like Netflix, other applications that were being used. I actually heard of one app that was used by people to manage their electric bed and to keep it in different positions. And when the app went down, they couldn't put their bed flat anymore. So that dependency on these applications, and we saw an example of it, third-party applications going down last August when the IT supplier for airports for the check-in systems went down and reached chaos at Dublin Airport and other European airports as we had to go and move from online check-in and using apps to board the planes to have to get paper boarding passes, etc. So that's one reason.
Yeah. If the technology, but that can happen to any application from anywhere.
It can do, but what the problem nowadays is that you've got these large tech giants like the Amazons, the Microsoft Azures. There's a company called Cloudflare that manages a lot of the internet traffic that many websites use. And having that concentration of all the services, all the apps we use on a handful of key suppliers, that if anything happens to those suppliers, it can have a huge knock-on impact to everything else.
Yeah.
So it's a reliance on a small number of tech giants that is raising the issue.
Right.
The other concern would be, and we've seen this happen, we've seen it happen with President Trump, where he has put sanctions against individuals and organizations. And part of the sanctions are that American companies are not allowed to provide services and support to these individual companies. So we've had several judges and investigators in the International Criminal Court being sanctioned by the US in response to the International Criminal Court making Mr. Netanyahu a wanted international criminal for genocide, and in response sanctions were made against these judges and investigators, and they couldn't access their email and other services because they were shut off due to sanctions. And then thirdly, the other issue that's starting to raise its ugly head yet again is tariffs, where President Trump has threatened huge tariffs, I think it was 10% against several EU countries for the support of Greenland in the recent row over President Trump wanting to take control of Greenland. And the EU would say, well, if you're going to impose those tariffs on us, we'll impose tariffs on American products and services. So, you know, the money we're paying now for the services that we get from US technology companies, if those tariffs were to come into place, that those prices could increase, or the those companies might decide not to provide services to the EU anymore. So there's several reasons to kind of look at what is our dependency on all this technology, and should we be looking at alternatives to make our lives a bit more resilient and less dependable on just some a handful of suppliers.
Is there also a privacy issue, Brian, in the sense of
there is
American legislation that allows them to snoop anywhere?
There is, yeah. There is a law in the US called the US Cloud Act, and that basically allows the US government to access data held anywhere by a US company. So, you know, you and I, Sean, we're Irish citizens. We're probably going to use maybe Amazon or Microsoft for or Google for different services. We select to use the European version of those services because we want to, the EU and Irish data privacy and other laws to protect our privacy. But because of the US Cloud Act, the US government and with their government agencies can request to actually access our data if they so wish, or the data of a company as well. So there will be concerns there that, again, given the geopolitical climate and how it's happening, are evolving, could we be at risk from a data privacy and security point of view?
Yeah, actually, on that point, if people store data in the cloud, where is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the sense of, is it an American cloud? Is it a European cloud?
It depends. Many of these companies, especially the large companies, would have their cloud services located throughout the world. That, so, you know, to serve the local market. So in they'd have a North American cloud to serve America, Canada. They'd have a European cloud to serve Europe. They'd have one for Asia to service Asia. But it's not just the location of where that data is. As I said, if it's a US company and it's headquartered in the US, no matter where your data is located, the US government can potentially get their hands on it. Sorry to cut across you, Sean. Actually, what somebody once described to me is, if you think of the cloud, think of it, you're storing your information on somebody else's computer.
Because one texter says an awful lot of cloud services are via the likes of Amazon Web Services and Google, etc. Even large multinational cloud providers find it hard not to resell from the big companies. You'll never even know it. I always wonder about government services being with these companies and how many TDs, etc., use personal Gmail accounts. That's a whole other range of questions. So is there evidence around Europe that particularly on a governmental level or civil servant level that they are moving away from using these kind of big providers?
There is, yeah. I think it's no surprise that Denmark is one of the leaders in this and actually were doing before the recent row over Greenland. But several Danish government departments are moving away from Microsoft technology to what's called open source technology. Open source technology is software that is free to use. It's not owned by any one particular corporate. So you can have, instead of having Microsoft Windows on your computer, you could have Linux instead of using Microsoft Office or any other commercial package like that. You could use open source tools like LibreOffice, which is what the Denmark is moving to. France has developed their own platform to replace the likes of Microsoft Teams and Zoom and Microsoft 365. It's called Visio. They already have 40,000 French civil servants using this, and the aim is by the end of 2027 they're going to have 200,000 civil servants, French civil servants, using this Visio platform. And they estimate the cost savings is going to be around 1 million euro per 100,000 users on the platform.
Yeah. Now, and say your search engine, is there a European search engine?
There are several different engines. Yeah, I think everybody is familiar with Google. You know, it's become a verb in itself. Have you Googled that? But there are alternatives. DuckDuckGo will be good privacy focused alternative. There are alternative browsers to what we've been using instead of Microsoft Edge or Safari or Chrome. There's several European ones. The one I use, for example, is Vivaldi, which is a European browser as well. It has a built-in search engine in it too. So there are European alternatives available. It's just a matter of sourcing and finding one that suits your requirements best and installing it.
Yeah. Now, is this the kind of thing, you know, could someone listening say, right, by Monday morning, I won't be reliant on any American tech, or do you have to be much more gradual about it?
My advice would be much more gradual about it. I think what you need to look at is what American tech or other technology, that you're relying on, maybe at a personal level, but also at a business level, and to see, well, you know, what potential risk do I have with that information? You know, am I the type of person that President Trump could issue sanctions against because I'm on social media giving out about the US all the time, or et cetera, and looking at what you want to migrate. So, for example, there are file storage platforms you can use in Europe. So do you want to move all your photographs from iCloud or Google into that cloud? It's going to take you time to do that. So have a look at what data, what services you have, and maybe start looking at alternatives and put a plan together to slowly maybe migrate over. I wouldn't see this being a weekend job for either individuals or companies.
Yeah, but I suppose just have as much as possible stored on the hard disk of your computer.
Well, have a backup, absolutely, because if you know, have a backup for your key data. You know, if it's your CV, or if you're a student and you've got college work, or you run your own small business, all your finance details and business details, maybe have a backup, as you said, onto your hard disk or onto an external drive. But do make sure your backup is secure, that if you lose that device, your information isn't suddenly available as well. But look at backups and alternatives. And yeah, you know, if you want to move away from some of the services, you know, what are the alternatives? And, you know, either move to them or have them as, if you like, on standby in case you need them at a later stage.
Brian, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Brian Honan there, Chief Executive of BH Consulting, an independent advisory firm on cybersecurity and privacy.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.